Please turn with me to the book of James, chapter 3. James chapter 3. We'll study verses 1 through 12 today. Oh boy. Why are y'all so quiet? You know, James chapter 3, 1 through 12 speaks about the tongue. And everybody in this room has one, right? So we're all guilty. Let's just confess our sin right now. We're all guilty. Now let's look at the Word of God. See what God's Word says about the tongue and how you and I, before the Lord and in His grace, should rule over our tongues. Let's pray before we study. Father in heaven, how we praise you for your love and your mercy and your grace to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you dwell in us by your Holy Spirit to direct us each and every day. We praise you for the spiritual blessings you've already bestowed upon us in this time of worship. We ask that you continue to bless us as we study your word. I pray that each of us will focus our minds and our hearts on your word, that you will instruct us by your Holy Spirit, Father, giving us understanding of the tongue and what you are going to reveal to us about our tongues and what our responsibility and accountability in this will be. And so, Father, may you be honored. May your children be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged today. And oh, how we pray for those who might be present here today and they do not know what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. During this time, Father, open their hearts to your love and grace and mercy and forgiveness in Christ, that trusting in Him alone, confessing and repenting of their sin and asking for forgiveness, they will be forgiven. And Lord, they will become your children. So bless us in our time of study. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we go through this passage today, keep in mind, each of us keep in mind our own tongues and what the Scripture tells us about our own tongue. Look at the first two verses. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Now, a teacher will be held to a higher standard of accountability by God because of the influence the teacher has over the people he or she would be teaching. This does not mean that if God has called you to teach, I'm not going there. No, if God's calling you to teach, He will give you the ability to teach and to teach truth. So we shouldn't run from the call of God on our lives. But as we have the opportunity to teach, we need to be so careful as teachers what we say and how we say it. And that's the warning here. Starting with teachers and the accountability that the teacher will face. Then from 1 and 2, you go to verses 3 through 12. And what I'd like for us to do is go carefully through this passage, looking at it and thinking about ourselves. Now, first of all, in chapter 3, we must accept the truth about what the Holy Spirit has given to James about the tongue. This is not my opinion I'm giving here this morning. I've got one too. We're all in this together. What do the Scriptures principally teach about our tongues? Now, first of all, let's look at in chapter 3. Let's look at verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. It boasts of great things. Pride, arrogance, self-centeredness. This is what the tongue will boast about. Look at verse 6. Goes on in verse 5. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Notice the tongue, first of all, stains the entire life. Announces the reputation we have. And then it talks a lot about the tongue being a fire. Fire is destructive, damaging. And look at the source of fire that the tongue draws from. It's hell, not heaven. Now God sends fire and purifies. But when fire comes from hell, it's destructive. And so our tongues, every one of us, our tongues have the potential of being fueled by the fires of hell if we are not very careful. That's all of us are in this situation. Now, that's the first thing. Are you and I willing to accept the truth about our tongues? Let's go on and look at verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. The truth of the matter is, you and I cannot tame this tongue. Counting to 10 is not going to get it. It's just when you finish counting to 10, then you loose the tongue. So that's not going to get it. Every kind of animal has been tamed by mankind, but we cannot tame our tongue. Scripture says we can't do it. Look at verse 9. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who were made in the likeness of God. You're driving down the road. Somebody cuts you off. What do you say? My dear loved one and friend, would you please be careful? And if you say that, I want to talk to you after church. What do you say? I don't want to know. I know what I say, and I'm not going to tell you. But it's not nice. We pray in the morning and go out to do our work. And then it flies. And James, as he was led by the Holy Spirit, he says here, we do this. Look at verse 10. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. And the word ought here is a very important word, because in the Greek it means it is necessary that we do not do this. That's the way that whole line would be translated. It is necessary that we do not do this. Because basically we're cursing the image of God in the person that we're yelling at or saying all these things about. It's a very serious sin that we're committing because of a burst of anger or selfishness or self-centeredness. Boom, it's there before we know it. Whoa, that's our tongues. You know, if we had some kind of a physical disease or tumor with those kind of characteristics, we would be in the doctor's office at 8 o'clock in the morning to get that diagnosis and to see how that could be removed from us. A deadly poison. We want it out of this body. Do we want to tame our tongues? We don't want to live like this anymore. I'm tired of my tongue. Lord, help me. And how do we do that? That's the next question. How do we do it? Well, the first thing we need to do is turn to Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus is in a debate again with those who do not like him, the Pharisees, and they're debating what defiles a person. And look at verses 20 through 23 of Mark chapter 7. And Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of a man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Look at 21. For from within, out of the heart of man, that's what defiles a person. And that's the communication of the tongue. The tongue communicates what's in the heart. So the first thing we need to acknowledge in taming this tongue is the source of the evil, and the source is my heart. Well, I'm a Christian. My heart is cleansed in the blood of Christ. Yeah, you're right. But your tongue's still not tamed. Right? Yeah, we're all guilty. We're sinners saved by grace. The flesh is still active and there's still a war going on. And we need to acknowledge that to ourselves. We're in a war here. My tongue is my enemy. And I've got to tame this tongue. But the first thing I have to admit is who my enemy really is. And how serious this enemy is in my mouth. And how deadly it is. Not only to those around me, but to myself. As here I am, a believer, a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, and what kind of a reputation do I have about the things I speak about and the manner in which I speak? You see, the tongue not only hurts those around, it hurts our own witness as well. So it's a very deadly, deadly situation. So I've got to deal with my heart. I've got to deal with my heart. Proverbs 4:23. Remember, the book of Proverbs are principles to live by. And this is a very important principle for all of us to live by. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. How have you and I guarded our hearts this past week? How have you and I guarded our hearts this morning? How are we guarding our hearts this very minute? Keeping our heart before the Lord and yielding to the Holy Spirit to control the heart and to guide the heart, the emotions and the thoughts and the desires that you and I have. How are we doing right now with this? Guarding the heart, not letting our hearts go left or right, but being focused on the Lord and Him only. That's guarding the heart. You are the only one that can guard your heart. I can't. But you can. I'm the only one that can guard my heart. And God will hold us accountable for that. So this is the first step. Jesus Christ is our Savior. We always begin with the salvation in Christ and Him alone. We trust in Him alone for salvation by confession of sin, believing that Jesus is God's only Son. He came into the world to die for the sin of His people and was raised from the dead. We trust in Christ alone. We have salvation. We start with Christ. Then we acknowledge, well, I still got a crusty heart and I still think some things and say some things that I should not and do not want to be saying. So I want to guard my heart from that. I don't want that anymore. Proverbs also says, order my steps in your word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in your word, this is the Lord, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Don't let sin rule my life. Don't let the flesh rule my heart. No, I want to guard my heart by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I won't have this fire of hell coming out at people. So I guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Once we admit the truth about the tongue and what our accountability to God will be and how we can turn to Him, we're on the right path. Now, the scriptures here in James says, no man can tame the tongue. Well, how can I tame the tongue? Well, the first thing we need to do, the next thing that we need to do is turn to the Lord. Turn to Psalm 141. In Psalm 141, David is the author of this psalm. It's kind of hard to know exactly when David had written this prayer. there are those who believe that David was in a very difficult and trying time in his life. He had his enemies saying all kinds of things about him, things that weren't true. He had others around him who were taking what he had said and twisted. And David was in a very precarious situation here. Have you ever been that way? Regardless of what you do, you're wrong because somebody either misquotes you or they take what you said and twist it. That's just so much fun, isn't it? And what do you do? And this is in Psalm 141. O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. This is worship. This is David worshiping from his heart and then calling on God to be there and to listen and to help. Now, look at verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard over my mouth. How many of us have prayed that this week? As we're going to encounter a difficult situation or a difficult person, have we prayed, Lord, guard my mouth. Let me be careful what I say and how I say it. Put that guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. We're told in Psalm 139 that before we even have a thought or words come across our lips, the Lord knows what it is. That's good and bad. But He knows it. And we're just saying, Lord, set this guard. I can't. And then in verse 4 of Psalm 141, do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds, in company with men who work iniquity, and let me not eat of their delicacies. Lord, when I'm dealing with men and women who are not believers or believers who are just overwhelmed with sin, let me be very careful here, Lord. I don't want to let them influence me. I don't want to take on their ways. And definitely when we're dealing with people who are not believers and are ungodly, here God has holding us to this standard right here of holiness and righteousness. And here they are down here in the pit of sin. We don't want to lower ourselves to their standard. We want to maintain this standard up here. And only by God's grace and the Spirit of God in us will we maintain that standard. Proverbs says a soft answer turns away wrath. Somebody yells at you, what are you going to do? Yell back. And when you yell back, what are they going to do? They're going to yell back. What do you do if you get real soft? They get angry because you're not yelling at them. A soft answer turns away wrath. It calms the situation. Don't lower yourself. Let's stay up here by God's grace. And there are times we need to say, Lord, as David did, Lord, help me. Help me. Guard my mouth. Guard my lips. Please do this. And when I'm around those people who do that, oh, I need to be extra careful here that I don't do that as well. So as we tame the tongue, the first thing we do is turn to the Lord. Now look at the name Lord there in Psalm 141. It's all uppercase letters. Yahweh, the covenant God of grace, who never changes in His being and in His relationship with His children. It's So when you and I call on Yahweh, He's always there for us. And He's always there to help us. So we turn to the Lord. Now, the next step that we can do is to turn to the Scriptures. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. There are two ways turning to the Scriptures. One is personally and privately. You have your own quiet time. You study, you meditate on the Scriptures. We should all be doing that on a regular basis. The other time is what you're doing right now. You're sitting under the teaching of Scripture by the Holy Spirit. Every Sunday, every time I teach, I always pray, Lord, teach us by your Holy Spirit. I am not your teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. The Holy Spirit knows what each of us needs in our own hearts. And when you have understanding of the Scripture, you know, we say the light comes on, or I understand this in a deeper way. My dear brothers and sisters, at that moment, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you personally. That's awesome when you and I have that biblical understanding. So we turn to the Scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers. Now I want you to look at that verse. These are, some people call these offices that God gave to the church through the years. Look at the definite article, the, in front of every one of them. It sets it aside as a special office and a special purpose for God's people. And He gave, we see here, He gave the apostles, and then the prophets. The prophets were special teachers, had special insight. The evangelists, and then you look at the shepherds and teachers. Shepherd there is a pastor. And it emphasizes the pastoral responsibility that a pastor has. And any pastor that's truly called of God, when he's pastoring the flock and he comes into the lives of the people that God has placed him over, he always comes with the Word of God to give counsel from Scripture. Not from his own wisdom, but he always gives counsel from Scripture. He shepherds by the Word of God. And that's what a pastor has to do. That's what he's called to do, is shepherd from the Word. And he also teaches. Look at the other. It says pastor, teacher. He teaches. A teacher is one who teaches things concerning God. He teaches about God, who God is, what God has done, what God will do. Just all about God and who He is. That's what the pastor does as he's teaching and preaching. And then he also teaches what the responsibility of the child of God is before God. That's his responsibility. And if God has genuinely called that man to be the pastor and teacher, then that's the man that needs to be doing that. And if the congregation truly feels like that's the man God has called to pastor them and to teach them, then they need to accept him as such. And look beyond the man, the individual, and the call of God on his life. Otherwise, I turn him off. Click. And I won't listen to him. You don't listen to God. Not that he's God. But he's called of God to watch out for you. And so we turn to the Scriptures because he is to teach the Scripture. this church will be 132 years old in July. 132 years old. And in the history of this church, the Word of God has been faithfully taught by the pastors who have been here. And it will be your responsibility to make sure that the next one does the same thing. Christ will be the center, the head of the church. Not the pastor, not the elders, not the deacons, but Christ and Christ alone. And His Word is to be proclaimed in the whole counsel of God. Why does the pastor do that? Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I first read this my first semester in seminary, and I thought, oh no. The seriousness and the reality of what God had called me to do was overwhelming. And it still is. It still is. God has put me here to oversee your souls, to feed you the Word, to equip you to serve the Lord, to enable all of us in our walk with the Lord to tame our tongues in this particular passage. I can't tame it. I have a trouble taming my own tongue. But I am to equip everyone that you might be able to tame yours. And it's turning to the Lord and turning to His Word that will enable us to tame our tongues. Now, that's how it's to be done. You and I cannot do this on our own. We cannot do this. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 25. There's one other source that you and I have that helps us tame the tongue. And it's each other. It is each other. Look at Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Part of the special part of being a believer in Christ and being a member of the local church is the fellowship of the body of Christ. Koinonia. This doesn't mean we sit down and eat meals together. That could be a part of it, but we got the wrong understanding of fellowship. Koinonia is where we share with one another. We get to know each other personally. The history of the ministry of this church is relational. The first and foremost and the most important relationship that we have is with Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then the second is a relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's how God has established the working of this church for 132 years. And it's awesome the way it works. So there's the relationship that we have. And you interact with each other more than I have the privilege of interacting with you. And in that interaction and in that fellowship, when we hear an attitude or something of someone is saying is not biblical, we need to lovingly speak the truth to that brother or sister and say, why are you so angry? Why are you so judgmental? Why are you saying that? Well, see, here in the South, we're nice and not biblical. We don't want to get involved. I want you as my friend, so I'm not going to say what I'm hearing from your heart. That's a hard thing to do, brothers and sisters. That is a hard thing to do, and it's a hard thing to receive. It's hard on everybody. But if we do it in a manner where we're not condemning and looking down our noses that we're better than anybody else, it should be received. It should be. But the taming of the tongue is our responsibility. And we're told here by the Holy Spirit, we can't do it. We cannot do it. But these passages I've shared with you this morning, by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. But it takes an effort. It takes an effort on each believer's part to do this. The question is, do I really want to do it? The question each of us has to ask ourselves before the Lord, do I want to tame my tongue? And am I willing and disciplined enough to work on it? Let's go back to James, chapter 3. In James chapter 3 and verse 10, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. There's where we are. These things ought not to be so. Did that strike our hearts deep enough to where we're going to take seriously, I want to tame my tongue. I don't want this tongue with the potential of the fire of hell to cause any more destruction and hurt than it's already caused. And God, forgive me for it. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, this has been a difficult lesson for all of us, but a lesson that we all need. And I trust it's been delivered in your grace and in your mercy. Whatever's been said here this morning, I trust whatever's been based on your word and the truth of your word, implanted into our souls and anything else removed. You've shown to us what our tongues are like, and how we may rule that tongue. And I pray that each one of your children here today will make every effort to rule that tongue and to speak which is honorable and pleasing to you and the building up of the body of Christ. And I pray, Father, for those here this morning who really do not understand what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that as we sing this closing hymn, and you speak to all of our hearts, those who need Christ, you'll draw them to yourself. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.